Okay, turn to Proverbs 2 and verse 15. Proverbs 2:15. We're still talking about the evil man that we can be delivered from by wisdom, which started off there in verse 12. Verse 15, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, referring to the way of the evil man. So we're going to look at that phrase there first, whose ways are crooked. So, given that these men, in verse 13, leave the paths of uprightness, you'll remember that. So if they're on a path, and you're heading straight, and you leave that path, then you have to bend and veer off the path. And that's one reason why their way is crooked, because crooked means bent from the straight form, having one or more bends or angles, curved, bent, twisted, tortuous, wry. And then it says it's applied to everything which is not straight, of which crooked is now the ordinary opposite. Now this crooked is used in a figurative way, and we'll get to the figurative in just a minute here. But if you think about it just in the natural way, crooked is something that's bent or not straight, right? So the way of the evil man is not straight. He's going off one direction or the other. And you remember what we're told in Proverbs 4:25-27, that we're not to turn to the right hand nor to the left, remove our foot from evil. So to leave the straight and narrow way, the path of uprightness, then his way is crooked, like I said. And the problem is whenever you, if you're walking on a path in the woods, and generally the path is kind of cleared out and you're not getting hit by things as you walk on it. But if you veer off and you go crooked, right, then you end up in the thorns and snares. And there are thorns and snares on physical paths, and then there are thorns and snares on spiritual and figurative paths as well. Look at Proverbs 22 and verse 5. So it's always a good thing that if it just seems like in life you're getting slapped in the face by sticks and branches everywhere you turn, then maybe you're off the path, right? Maybe there's something going wrong there. You might want to get the compass out and make sure that you're heading in the right direction. Proverbs 22 and verse 5, it says, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. So stay on the path, stay away from the thorns and snares. Now there's also another reason why somebody could try to walk on the path of the wicked or something, and that is thinking that they could maybe reform the wicked if they walk with them, right? And you may have even heard of people like this or talked to people like this, that they think that by meeting people where they are and doing what their bad friends do, that they can be a good example to them, right, and lead them in the right way. And that's typically not the case. That's a fool's errand most of the time. If you look in Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 15, when you're talking about the crooked way, you're not going to make it straight by walking on it, right? Imagine if you're walking through the woods on a crooked path and you just decide, well, if I just keep walking on this thing, eventually it's going to straighten out. You walking on it's not going to change the path, right? Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 15 says, that which is crooked cannot be made straight. Now, I have a note in my Bible, because I'm kind of cynical, that says politicians. Right? The old saying, crooked as a politician. And that which is wanting, which means lacking, cannot be numbered. Now, I have another note there that says their intelligence and integrity. So you could probably learn a lot about me reading the notes in my Bible. So anyway, the crooked way cannot be made straight. Let me just give you three examples of this idea. For instance, hanging out with your friends at the bar to try to use your good example to get them to quit drinking. Right? That's always very successful, isn't it? Right? Right? Doesn't that work quite well? Just be a good example to them as they're getting plastered, and they'll look over and say, huh, that guy's very sober and very spiritually minded. Maybe I should stop drinking.
I'll use him to get right home tonight.
I'm glad he's here. Yeah, exactly. Or how about straightening out Washington, D.C. by running for Congress? Right, I'm going to run for Congress, go down to Washington, and straighten that place out. That which is crooked cannot be made straight. You're not going to straighten that place out. You could go down there and cast a good vote or two, but chances are they're going to make you crooked and you're not going to make them straight. Right? It's not going to work out. You can't change the leopard spots of the Ethiopian skin. Neither can they that are accustomed to do evil do good, as the Bible says. Or here's another one. This is more in the spiritual realm, but continuing to go to an errant church with hopes of converting them and changing their minds. A lot of people do that. A lot of people, when they're first converted, they think, well, I want to keep going to this church because I think that I can get them to see the way, and maybe they'll be converted. And that's fine for a time. You know, go there and share what you've learned. But if you've done that for a while and they've rejected it and have no interest in it, continuing to go there and then continuing to speak up every time there's a meeting or at a Bible study and trying to convince everybody of the truth, it's not going to work. You're just going to irritate people. You're going to get exasperated yourself. And I've been there. I know exactly what I'm talking about. So times like that, just jump off the crooked way. Just get out of it. You're not going to accomplish anything there. And just maybe, and this is probably not going to work either, but just maybe whenever you do bail, then they might look, well, why'd he leave? You know, and then once they've lost something, like their friend or something, then maybe they'll listen to what you have to say.
I never had that happen.
I haven't either.
They just, it was like I was invisible from then on.
Yeah, more than, that's my experience too. It normally doesn't work. And there's a reason for that, is because typically God calls people alone. Like it says of Abraham, God said, I called him alone. Remember what it was said of Abraham, get thee out of thy country. That's a singular pronoun there. God doesn't call whole families together. Sometimes he does, but a lot of times he doesn't. He just calls one here, one there, and then it's up to you to do the right thing and leave your family to do their thing and pray that someday their eyes will be open. So if you want to stay off the crooked path, and it's just best to, or if you want to stay out of the ditch, it's best to just stay off the path entirely and don't even go near it. Like Solomon said, Proverbs 4:14-15, he says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Now, I mentioned earlier that crooked in this text is a figurative definition. And we know it's a figurative definition because he's talking about the way of the evil man. And the way of the evil man in this case is not actually a road that he's walking on physically, right? It's a manner, a course of life, right? So if the way is figurative, then the crooked way is also figurative. And so if we look at the figurative definition, number 3, in crooked, it is the reverse of straight in figurative senses, especially with reference to moral character and conduct, deviating from rectitude or uprightness, not straightforward, dishonest, wrong, perverse, perverted, out of order, or awry. So somebody that's crooked is perverted. They're dishonest. They're wrong spiritually. They're not upright, right? They're just not a good person, right? That's a crooked person. And we typically, I mean, that's normally how we use the term. When we talk about somebody's crooked, that's exactly what we're referring to. That's why we call politicians crooked, because a lot of times what they do is they get in there and then they make votes based on people that are paying them off or benefits they can get or something, and that's not upright. It's you know, deviating from what's right, and that's why they're called what they're called. Now I want you to think about something. Even in this wicked and perverse generation that we live in, what are people who have a natural and normal sexual orientation called? Straight, right? It's funny, everybody calls them straight. Sodomites call them straight. Normal people call them straight. Everybody calls somebody who is a heterosexual, they call them straight, right? So what does that imply then? If heterosexuals are straight, what are sodomites then?
Crooked.
Crooked, right? The opposite of straight. They're crooked. I think that's so interesting. So whenever a sodomite calls a guy, a normal guy, straight, he is tacitly admitting that he's crooked, right? He's not straight. I just think that's fascinating. So now let's take it one step further. Since the way of the sodomite is crooked, and by definition it is, right? It's deviating from rectitude or uprightness, dishonest, wrong, perverted, right? Perverse, out of order. By definition, the way of the sodomite is crooked. Therefore, he is in the way of the evil man. He's an evil man, according to Proverbs 2 and verse 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, whose ways are crooked and froward in their paths. All right? So this is just a roundabout way that we can come to this conclusion. And of course, this certainly agrees with what the scriptures teach. I'll just give you a couple of verses, a few verses here. Look at Leviticus 18 and verse 22. I've read these plenty of times, but in this crooked and perverse generation that we live in. I probably will read them many more times. Leviticus 18:22, the Lord says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." God is disgusted by it, and he hates it. That's what abomination means. Look in 1 Kings 14:24. Now think about how many churches out there that accept sodomites, and there's getting to be a lot of them, and the idea is we're just going to love them, right? And then, well, I don't even know if they want to change them. I would think the idea would be to change them, but I suppose they don't even probably want to do that. But that which is crooked cannot be made straight. Not to say that a sodomite can't be converted, but typically it doesn't. It doesn't normally happen. Although in Corinth, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, they were abusers of themselves with mankind, and Paul says, "And such were some of you, but now ye are washed, ye are sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus." So it's certainly possible. There are people out there, which I think they err on the other side too far, which say that sodomites can never be children of God. They can never be saved. And that's just simply not true either, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Kings 14 and verse 24 says, "And there were also sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." And it's interesting here. Correlation doesn't necessarily equal causation, of course, but look what else was happening when there were sodomites in the land. The previous verse. "For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree." Imagine that, green tree worship. A nation given to green tree worship also has a lot of sodomites in it. Interesting. This nation went down the green tree worshiping path 150 or so years ago, and look what's happened to us. We are full of sodomites. And then to give you one more in the New Testament, look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27.
It seems like the high heel is like Hollywood in a way.
Well, Hollywood is up on a hill. That's true. Yeah. And the high hills, that's where they would go
they
to worship.
High places.
That's typical. That's pagan worship, go in the high place. They think they're closer to God or something that way. Yeah. Romans 1, 26 through 27. These are people that have turned their backs on God, and God finally had enough of it, and he gave them over to their lusts. It says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." I refer to straight people as normal people, and I'm sure that would be highly offensive to people today. But didn't he say the natural use of the man, the natural use of the women? Natural, normal, right? That's, yeah, pretty much you're abnormal if you are a sodomite. And you know what, even the, I forget what the manual was called. It was the manual of psychiatric illnesses or something. It was a psychology manual, and I think it's in its fourth edition now. You know what it's called? I forget what the term for it was. But anyway, that thing, whenever it was, I don't know when it was first put out, but in the edition back in the 60s, 70s, I don't know, it was still, homosexuality was considered deviant behavior. It was a mental illness in those days. And of course, they took that out because of all the flack that they were getting from all the social justice warriors before they were termed that. And that thing just gets thicker and thicker. Now there are so many so-called mental disorders these days. It's just like any problem you have is some mental disorder. No, you're just screwed up. Quit acting like an idiot. And just, you know, most of it. I mean, there are certainly mental disorders, but not nearly as many as are in that book. That's for sure. Like my favorite one, I forgot about this, is something defiance disorder. I can't remember the exact term, but it's oppositional. I think it's called oppositional defiance disorder. Yep. And what that is the children that disobey their parents, they have this disorder. No, they don't have a disorder. It's called sin. It's called foolishness, and it needs beaten out of them, right? But yeah, can you imagine nowadays. You're like, well, you know, my child, I just can't make him behave because he has oppositional defiance disorder. It's just like, it's ridiculous. So in this evil generation, it is as important as ever that we be, as it says in Philippians 2:15, that we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And if the nation that Paul lived in was a crooked nation, this nation certainly qualifies as a crooked nation, because we are walking in the same steps as any crooked nation has in the past. All right, let's get to the second half of that verse. Whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. Froward means disposed to go counter to what is demanded or what is reasonable. Perverse, difficult to deal with, hard to please, refractory, ungovernable. I just realized, I just put together an outline. You'll hear it one of these days. I like to work ahead, but on dealing with difficult people. And if I don't have that, I need to. Well, I'll make a mental note. Make a mental note for me, because that definition right there is the definition of a difficult person. So if I don't have it in that sermon, maybe it'll be two sermons now, because the Bible has a lot to say about froward people. So anyway, let me read it again. Disposed to go counter to what is demanded or what is reasonable, perverse, difficult to deal with, hard to please, refractory, ungovernable. So this is telling us that wicked people are difficult. They're difficult to deal with. They don't like to do what's asked them. You ask them to do something reasonable, and they're going to buck you, right? They're just those kind of people that they would do something except if you asked them to do it, and then if you told them to do it, and then when you tell them to do it, they're not going to do it. There's some people out there that are just like that. So the man that has a rebellious spirit, and he is wont to do the opposite of what is asked or commanded him by a legitimate authority, he's froward in his past. He is therefore an evil man. So you want to think about that. The next time you want to dig in your heels when some legitimate authority tells you to do something, you're like, I don't have to listen to him. Well, the Bible says that you're froward and that you're an evil man. So we don't ever want to go there. You want to be careful about that. Well, you know,
beating the red light or speeding.
I talked about that in the civil authority sermon, and just because some bureaucrat, self-proclaimed authority, makes some arbitrary determination of some speed that you can drive on a highway that you paid for, doesn't necessarily mean it's a moral sin to not, you know, toe the line on that. So, no, I wouldn't take it to that extent, because if you take it to that extent, then somebody could just, you know, anybody that has some authority of some kind could just start telling you to do any little thing and micromanaging your life and so on. So obviously there's a line there.
But didn't they post the speed limits because that's what, how do you say it? Because if the speed limit is lower than 30 or something, you've told me that you feel like you're driving too slowly or something.
So, well, a lot of times, I think a lot of times they post speed limits artificially low to end up bring revenue to the state. Because typically, you can, this is a side note, but you can pretty well tell how fast you ought to drive on a road. I mean, you can tell when you're driving and you're not out of control and you're comfortable. And if In the way that I see it is, if you're driving comfortably and not out of control, and that's over what the speed limit is, then the speed limit should be adjusted, because it's too low, and then you blow past it 10 miles an hour over, and then you get a ticket, and you had no idea you were going 10 miles an hour over because it was some arbitrary number. And I've had that happen to me lots of times, and it's really irritating. Whenever you have to creep along, like on the outskirts of a town, and you just know that they're going to be waiting there for you, yeah, that's extortion as far as I'm concerned. But anyway. Now, the Lord does not take a froward spirit lightly. Look at 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23. 1 Samuel 15, verse 23. The Lord says, this is speaking of Saul, after he was supposed to destroy all the Amalekites and all the animals and everything that breathed, basically, and Saul kept the animals alive, the best of them for sacrifice. The people talked him into it. And he thought he had done the will of the Lord. That's what he told Samuel. And here's what Samuel had to say to that. He says in verse 23, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Now, what Saul did was partial obedience. And of course, partial obedience is also partial disobedience, right? So if God tells you to do something and you only do it partially, then that's a sin, like in his case. And even if he would have killed all the animals, he did spare Agag, the king. And that would have just been one person out of probably thousands, but yet he would have disobeyed the Lord if he spared even one. And the Lord says there that that sin of rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, which is a weighty sin. That's a capital crime, was a capital crime under the law of Moses, right? The Bible said in the Old Testament, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live, right? So that's no joke. And yet, foolish so-called Christian parents dress their daughters up like witches for Halloween and think nothing of it. And think about that. So you want to remember this. No man's authority is absolute. So when a government goes beyond their sphere and then requires a Christian obedience that's not biblical, then of course we do what Peter said in Acts 5 and verse 29. We ought to obey God rather than men, right? So this is not saying that you're of a froward spirit if everything that some man tells you to do, you don't do, right? If they're not exercising legitimate authority, then they're not to be obeyed. But if a government or any authority is exercising its God-given duties, then Christians ought to submit to it. So, right, when governments make laws against murder, theft, rape, violence against other people, fraud, extortion, things like that, then yes, absolutely, they are doing their God-ordained duty, and they ought to be obeyed. Now we have people there in 2 Peter 2 and verse 10 that are described as despising government, presumptuous, self-willed, and these people are froward by definition, and they are those that are walking after the flesh, as Peter tells us, and we certainly want to avoid that extreme. 2 Peter 2 and verse 10 says, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." So there's some people out there that just hate authority, period. It doesn't matter if it's good and righteous authority or not. They just hate authority, and they don't want anybody to tell them what to do. And that's being froward and foolish and walking in the way of the wicked. Remember the people that Peter is describing here in chapter 2 are reprobates. So this is characteristic of reprobates. So we don't want to go there. And that's why you tend to have reactions against things. And like, for instance, with police brutality or police overstepping their bounds, and there's plenty of that, and in the circles that I run in, I hear about it all the time. But you also don't want to swing so far in the other directions that you hate all cops and you'd be disrespectful to cops or something like that. You don't want to go there either, because then, you know, you're too far in either direction, you're going to be in trouble. And so you got to watch out for that. So wisdom from God's word is going to deliver us from such a person and their pernicious ways, and that's what we've learned about so far in Proverbs 2, 10 through 15. I'm not going to read that passage, but that takes us up to where we are at this point. That's the whole reason, one of the reasons for getting wisdom is to be delivered from the evil man. The next thing we'll get to is in the next verse.